Yeah, so it's a long time coming. I guess in 2014 it all started. Attempts to have her extradited. Former principal of Adas Israel, who is alleged to have made 74 child sex offences. Of course, 10 years ago when that allegedly happened, she fled overnight to Israel. For the last few months, there's been attempts to have her in court to extradite her, but the Israeli judge did not do so 3 times in a row because Leifa and her lawyer claimed all this time that she was mentally unfit to travel to Australia and face Australian courts. However, in the background, the Israeli police have been undertaking, and this was revealed in the arrest and in the court which happened for the first time on Tuesday, where the police have been doing a very sophisticated operation where they used the technology to track what Leifa's day-to-day movements were in Israel, in the settlement, in the village she was in. It found evidence that she was not hampered so much, and she was able to get out and about, and they believe she's. They've got the evidence to prove that she is, in fact, ready to be extradited to Australia. Of course, this was massive news.
It is massive news, and Shane, I think that we must mention also the diplomatic efforts to bring this extradition. One of the victims of the alleged child abuse was Dassi Ehrlich, and she met the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull before he went to Israel in November, and she actually appealed to the Prime Minister to do something in Israel. And Dave Sharma, the former Australian ambassador to Israel, spoke to the AJN and told them about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Dave Sharma told us that the extradition of Malka Leifa was a top priority all this time for the embassy, and he said at that point in time, the embassy took evidence to the Israeli authorities and asked them for more support. So Sharma said the police launched a sophisticated operation, as I said before, which greatly undermines Leifa's claims of being unfit. He said the advocacy of the victims and the high-level political advocacy has made a real difference in this case. He said raising the case at senior levels gave the case the attention that it deserved.
The three sisters that allegedly suffered abuse, what was their reaction?
Well, Nicole Meyer said it was a bit of a shock. She almost fell off her bed when someone from the Israeli Ministry of Justice called her on the Monday night and told her. And she said straight away she went on speakerphone to her sisters and told them the news. Of course, this was the day they were waiting for. Within an hour, the three sisters were together. Dassi Ehrlich, who has been, you know, from the beginning at the forefront of the campaign to bring Leifa back, she just said it was a mixture of feelings. She was shocked, overjoyed, apprehensive, nervous and excited all at the same time. So Leifa, this whole series of events is expected to hopefully jumpstart extradition proceedings. As I said, they have not moved forward since 2014. But Leifa was due to face court for a second time again this week. It's hoped that in the next coming months ahead that there'll be more progress. It will result in Leifa being extradited to Australia.
We are talking to Shane Desiatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News, and you're listening to SBS Radio, broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, on a different matter altogether, pro-Israel Christian group being slammed at the New South Wales Parliament.
Yes, and it's Reverend Fred Nile, who is due to host an event called Christian Friends of Israeli Communities on February 19. But New South Wales Greens MLC Dr. Maureen Faruqi has put a notice of motion to the Parliament in response to this. She's stated that the UN Security Council recognised that Israeli settlements have no legal validity and that they are a flagrant violation of international law and an obstacle to peace. So her notion of motion went on to say, this event is hosted by an organisation that fundraises, in her words, to provide infrastructure for illegal settlement projects in the West Bank, and that it includes a donation to the organisation to continue its work in illegal settlements. Of course, this has upset many people. Of course, Fred Nile himself in Parliament was screaming the word censorship, censorship, as Faruqi was speaking. And then he told Parliament that Faruqi is just trying to stop our guest speaker, an Orthodox Jewish lady from Samaria, from appearing, And I think it just shows how belligerent and intolerant the Greens really are. Meanwhile, Walt Secord, who's also Labor Member of Parliament and New South Wales Parliamentary Friends of Israel Deputy Chair, has said that he'd support New South Wales Legislative Council President John Ajaka standing up to the Greens and urged him to reject their crazy demands. This is the latest example of the Greens and their hypocrisy and long-standing blind hatred of Israel, Secord said. Rather than trying to promote intelligence and sensible discussions, the Greens are only using their parliamentary motion as another way to attack Israel.
We are talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Shane, the great synagogue in Sydney, incredible milestone, 140 years.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it when you think 140 years, isn't it? So the current chief minister of the oldest synagogue is Rabbi Dr. Benjamin Elton. He's said that we were always built as a shul for all Jews, and that's what we remain after all these years. He said, our story is really the story of Sydney Jewry in general. He said, I think almost every Jew in Sydney has some connection to the great synagogue, and therefore this is a time for everyone who feels that connection to celebrate. The first event is going to be on March the 3rd. And there's going to be a very big celebration. It's going to be the utmost remarkable synagogue service the shul has had for decades. That's going to kickstart a whole series of celebratory events throughout the year. Of course, on the First Fleet, there were 16 Jews in 1788. So there wasn't really a formalized shul until 40 years later when a group got together and had Shabbat services in a home. And the great synagogue still has in its possession the chumash used at those initial services. Then there was the York Street Synagogue in 1844 and the Macquarie Street Synagogue, but they were very small, and they merged together to create something much bigger and grander, which obviously became the great synagogue. And of course, if you've ever been inside, the architecture inside and outside is absolutely beautiful.
It is magnificent. And if you haven't been to the great synagogue in Sydney, in the center of the city, got to go. It's just so beautiful inside. It's just to sit and look around is just magnificent. Do you know when this building was built?
Yes, so the official opening date of the great synagogue was 1878.
Amazing. Shane, there is a very special guest is coming to Sydney next month. We're talking about Alan Dershowitz.
Yes, Alan Dershowitz, the acclaimed Harvard law professor and defense lawyer, is widely regarded as an American voice of reason on issues relating to Israel. He's coming to Australia next month. It'll be only his third time here, and he's going to be the big guest speaker at the United Israel Appeal Campaign events.
Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much and have a great week.